Hey Luxembourg, let's talk about something that really matters, your money and your future. Welcome to Money Talks, the podcast that brings you honest chats with familiar faces from Luxembourg. You'll hear stories about big decisions in life and in personal finances. No jargon, no fluff, just conversations that make sense and get you thinking about your own goals and how to reach them. This podcast is brought to you by Alfie.
Hello and welcome to a new episode. Today we're crossing continents. My guest is Patrick Augustin, Associate Professor of Finance at McGill University in Canada. Patrick is also the Academic Director of a very new Master in Management of Finance in Luxembourg, and this is a program launched with the support of Alfie, ABBL and the Ministry of Finance. Patrick, welcome to the Money Talks.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here and to bridge Canada and Luxembourg in this important conversation about finance and education.
You've had quite a global journey from Luxembourg to Stockholm, New York, Montreal, and now back again for this partnership. What inspired you to connect McGill with Luxembourg and launch this new master here? And maybe also give us a little bit of background about McGill.
So that's a great question. McGill has a very long tradition of bringing the world to Montreal, to its campus. Now we're also looking outwards, which is part of a global strategy of bringing McGill to the world. Luxembourg was just a very natural fit for McGill's first European base for various reasons. One, every financial center in the world has a leading business school that helps attract and retain talent. Luxembourg is an exception, and we want to fill this gap. It's also the country's financial sector is actually moving up the value chain and focusing on attracting, retailing, and upscaling global talent. And that aligns perfectly with McGill's vision. The new program that we're launching has a unique educational component where students learn hands-on how to run a real investment fund. This is not a student club or an alumnus who has given money. It's the real deal. So and that in particular makes it even more relevant for a country that is a global leader in the mutual fund industry.
What kind of student are you looking for this program?
So we're looking for students who are driven, curious, and eager to learn. I think that's all you need. Specifically, the program is tailored for working professionals. So we're looking into candidates who have between 2 and 8 years of working experience. But what's important is the holistic CV or background of the candidate. If someone has a strong academic background and is the right fit for this program and a clear motivation to participate without experience, they can still be a very good fit. I think that doesn't preclude them. Candidates need to have an undergrad degree. And obviously, if it's a degree related to finance, accounting, or economics, I think that's helpful. But we also look for people in engineering, from sciences. Historically, we have at McGill even had students who had a background in music. Now, obviously, the learning curve will be a bit quicker when they start doing a master's program. What really matters at the end of the day is the mix of perspectives in the classroom. I think we want a cohort that's very diverse, internationally diverse, academically diverse. It's the mix of people that really kind of makes the cohort succeed. And students learn as much from each other as they learn from the professors in the program.
How many places are available per year, per promotion?
So this is going to be an exclusive program. So we target a small cohort, especially at the beginning. So we would like to start with 10 to 15 people, and then in the steady state, in the longer run, really have no more than 30 to 35 people in a classroom. And so especially at the beginning, I think the small class size makes it very kind of intimate to learn and a very kind of inclusive learning environment because it's almost a one-to-one faculty to student ratio.
Mm-hmm. Given your experience with your students for so many years, what kind of skills or mindset do you think that are useful and essential today to succeed in a career in finance?
Yeah, people ask me this about a career in finance. I personally don't think finance is different from any other career. I think at the end of the day, what matters is that you're driven, curious, and willing to go the extra mile. In my view, it's very important to be independent and resourceful because no one has all the answers all the time. I think that's what's key. Technical skills, you can always learn them. What makes the difference at the end of the day is your mindset. Being open, adaptable, and ready to learn from every challenge. in finance as in life, I think that's what kind of takes you much further than any single piece of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. How important do you think it is to invest in oneself? Is it as important as investing in funds, stocks, and other types of investments?
So I'm very glad you asked that question. I think it's an extremely important question. Let me characterize the answer by a phrase that I like a lot, and that is, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. I think our human capital, what we know, the way we think, the way we learn, the way we grow, I think it's our most valuable assets that we have. And so I think investing into that is actually the best investment you can ever make.
What do dividends look like after doing the McGill program?
The dividend?
Yes.
Well, there may be a cash dividend, what many people are looking for. But I think, again, like I just mentioned, right? So if you invest into yourself, right, you're upskill, kind of you see the world differently, you become more open-minded, you become better equipped to identify opportunities. And these opportunities, they can happen as much in the financial landscape when we talk about kind of personal investing, as well as in opportunities in job opportunities that you're perhaps kind of better able to identify because you're better equipped with seeing the nuances and the differences in what a good opportunity looks like.
During the master's program, you mentioned that students will manage a real investment fund and make actual decisions. Why is it learning by doing so important when it comes to understanding money markets? Is it the way to really get a skin in the game and learn for real?
Absolutely. I think whatever you do in life, I think you need to have some skin in the game to make it real and to make it tangible. And that's when you learn. I think we have all experienced this. It's not until you cook yourself that you will learn how difficult cooking can be. And then it becomes easier over time. It's not until you take that first yoga class that you realize how difficult stretching is. And it takes practice until you actually become good at this. Here's the same. I think we all want to invest and to kind of grow our financial wealth, kind of to plan for future retirement. But at the end of the day, you need to kind of get in there and get hands-on experience. And I think that's the unique part of this program, because McGill owns an investment firm. And this is not a closed student club or a closed fund where some alumni have given money. It's an open investment fund where accredited investors in Canada can invest. And so students are running this hands-on. And this really means they learn all parts of the business, from doing the fundamental analysis, from doing the investor pitches, from assessing your holdings in the portfolio, from doing the trade execution, having to defend your performance if you're not at par with the benchmark, but also doing the compliance, the accounting, the reporting, and like all the back office work. And so I think that gives you a sense of maturity, gives you a sense of more comfort in how to deal with money. And it's a great experience that I wish I have had when I was studying, where back in the day it was purely an academic curriculum. And so now being part of this initiative is actually great to see. And we have a lot of success with students and with employers who see basically the difference that this can make.
One curiosity I always had was, if people know how to manage a fund, does it mean that they are good investors on the personal side or no?
Absolutely not. I think there can be a good correlation, but there can also be not. Right? I think the very hard, I think it gets us into a different topic, and how do you assess investor skill? And I think that by itself is heavily debated, because I think we all know it's very difficult to beat the market on average. But many people do. But then the question is, do they consistently outperform the market? And again, we see some of the people doing this. And then the question again becomes, well, is it luck, or is it really
competence.
Skill?
Yeah.
But that being said, I think there is a wide range of performances that we can assess, and there's also limiting the mistakes. And I think their financial education is extremely important, because we all are prone to behavioral biases. We're prone to various types of mistakes. And again, it's it's what I just mentioned. You need to get your hands dirty and just do it, whether it's doing your first yoga class, whether it's cooking, whether it's learning how to ride a bike as a kid. And you're going to get hurt along the way, but that makes you better and it makes you avoid various mistakes. But this is not a guarantee that you will be the most successful investor in 10 years.
Everyone makes mistakes with money, even experienced investors, like you said. And from your perspective as a researcher and teacher, what do you see as some common mistakes that people make when it comes to investing or to managing money? And what can we learn? Maybe we can even talk about a personal experience, if you will. So that of your students and the personal one.
No, I think there's many common pitfalls. One is to defer decisions to tomorrow, procrastinate. I think that's really bad. And so this is happening to me on a regular basis because I'm overwhelmed with various kind of commitments, deliverables, family. And I know it's a mistake and I know it's a bad decision. And so I force myself all the time to come back and actually kind of make the decisions I have to do. So I compare myself sometimes to the doctor that smokes, right? So essentially, I know it's bad for you, but sometimes it does happen. And so here's again, I would say it's a bit similar. So inertia, right? Procrastination. And I think every dollar that you have, you should be investing today and not tomorrow, because it allows you money to grow more quickly, to have it invested more productively, more efficiently. So I think that's a very, very important and a very common one. I think the other one, a second one, is also what I would say called the ostrich strategy. If there's something that we don't like or don't want to see it, we put our heads into the sand. But it's the same. If you have a financial loss, like you have to deal with it, you have to look at it. And there's many, many, many other types of discussion points that we could engage in. There are courses on behavioral finance and so forth. But I think getting started as soon as possible with investing is good, right? To kind of grow your capital for the future, and also to kind of just learn which mistakes to avoid.
Let's talk about something that scares most of us: is risk, the danger of losing the money. How do you think we can learn to think about risk in a better way, in a smarter way?
I'd like to give a very simple analogy. When we cross the street, we're all at risk of getting run over by a car. It can actually be very dangerous. But I think all of us would agree that we're willing to take that risk and cross the street to get to the other side of the street. And we're taking a calculated risk with an informed decision because we know how cars drive around us and how the traffic system works. I think here it's no different, right? There are certain risks, I think, that are healthy risks that you should be taking. And in the longer run, they allow you, again, to grow your capital better, more productively. And just as we kind of recently showed in the pension study that we did in collaboration with Alfie. So the earlier you invest, and I think the more productively you invest your capital, the better this will be for your long-run wealth accumulation and for your financial wealth.
I've heard you earlier describe finance as both analytical and deeply human, and you mentioned behavioral finance. Why do emotions and behavior matter so much when we make financial decisions?
Why, I cannot tell you. I'd love to figure out. I think there's a lot we have to understand still in how our brain works and basically what's get triggered when we're exposed to various emotions, whether this is gains or losses, and how then fear associated with uncertainty. We know uncertainty and even ambiguity, which is a different kind of uncertainty, that they kind of significantly impact how we make decisions in our daily lives. And again, that's not just finance. That's related to everything. I don't know why. I would love to know. But again, I don't think you need to understand or know every single thing, but you need to understand essentially how to navigate the system with these biases. If I may still give you a very nice analogy that I like to use in my classroom as well. So many people ride the bike. And I think everyone here that has ridden a bike at some point in their life, they've come to a point where they had a bike that was a little bit crooked. Now, you don't directly throw away the bike. Like, if you know a little bit how to kind of change the gear and steer against it, it can still be very functional. And here it's the same. Sometimes you push in certain directions that you know it's not the right direction to go. But if you understand how to navigate with that bias, you'll be better off overall and you ultimately end up in the right place.
Maybe instead of the why, I should have asked, how do we manage those very strong emotions when we are in an investment process, and when you hold your horses, when you see your portfolio dropping or something like this, when you are having impulsive decisions coming to your brain, and how do you stop them? How do you manage them?
Well, for one, I think you need to start being aware of them. I think it's only when you're aware of them that you can actually address them. And so that is what I call the personal finance, like being aware of behavioral biases in financial investing. And there's multiple ones, right? There's the what we call the disposition effect, right, where essentially individuals are often kind of sell winners more quickly and they hold on to losers, which is not always the best strategy, but that's just one among many behavioral biases that we know exist. Yeah.
Very interesting field to explore. Patrick, a lot of our listeners are just starting to save or invest for the first time. What's one simple piece of advice you'd give to someone who wants to take that first step, but doesn't know where to start?
I'd say just do it. The Nike rule. but I think, again, getting first of all informed, not taking blind decisions, I think is important. Now that information can come from multiple places, I think there is neutral advice that's given by many platforms. Again, Alfie is a stakeholder here in giving broad advice on financial investing. I think there's personal finance courses that people can take. Again, reading the newspapers. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anyone to go necessarily blind into YouTube videos, but there's certified platforms where you have third-party vetted providers on personal finance essentials. And I think that's available in many places, whether it's on the internet. Again, but I think what's important is to make sure these are sources that are vetted by third parties and that are of high quality, and then make an informed decision. And often it helps to talk to your environment, talk to peers, whether it's younger, whether it's older. And I think in many countries, what has been documented is that the more you get exposed through investing and kind of to financial risk, whether it's through your employment because you have an employment pension plan that potentially forces you to take a decision, whether it's with if your friends start investing and you talk with them about kind of opportunities, and so slowly by slowly, the more you're exposed to these kind of different types of risk and investing, the more it will kind of educate them, and it will give them more incentives themselves to invest. And that has been documented multiple times in our pension study with Alfie. What we show is, in particular in Sweden, there's very strong evidence that the more you're exposed to kind of the risk capital to your public and employment pension plan, for example, the more you will be taking risk yourself in your own household savings.
Patrick, this has been a rich conversation. Before we let you go, if our listeners are interested in learning more or applying for the master, where should I go?
Go to our website on the McGill webpage. You have the page of the McGill Luxembourg Center for Finance that has been co-created with the Ministry of Finance, Alfie Abibiel. Write us an email at mmfluxembourg@mcgill.ca or reach out to me personally. I'm always happy to talk, to chat with people if they're interested in the program. And I'd love to see a lot of interest in Luxembourg, and I hope to see your applications soon.
Thanks again. And to our listeners, until next time, stay curious and keep asking questions. Every small step in understanding personal finance is a step toward financial freedom.